This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, everything we've been up to Monday, January the 25th. This morning, we have had something of a vaccine special. Now, it is a topic that we have addressed before, but this morning we were looking at vaccine logistics. Some rumours going around the place, people wondering what's happening with supply of the vaccine. So we went straight to the source, speaking to Dr. Farida Al-Hosseini about what's happening when it comes to vaccine supply into the UAE, putting some of those rumours to rest. Plus, we've also been speaking to the medical director from the New York University Abu Dhabi, Dr. Ayaz Virji, to find out about what you need to do when it comes to your second dose, how to schedule it, how to time it, what will work, what will not. Staying with vaccines, we've been speaking as well to one restaurateur who is offering discounts for people who've got the jab. More discounts for people who've got more jabs. 10% off with one shot, 20% off with two shots. We've found out why he's done it and the kind of reaction that he has got. Plus, of course, Serena Kelly has been in with all of your latest COVID news.
Ask Serena.
Serena Kelly and Naz to bring us up to date with all the latest. Let's start with cases and vaccines.
So this time last week, we were looking at new cases of 3,453. We have a new high yesterday, 3,579 new cases of COVID-19 in the UAE. So that was discovered after more than 179,000 tests were conducted across the country. So currently, when we look at the overall tally or figure of confirmed or reported cases in the country, currently stands at 277,955. We break that figure down for you. That includes your recoveries. Very high figure yesterday, 4,166 people recovered. So a total of 251,484 recoveries in the country. 9 fatalities yesterday, so we're at 792 there. And of course, active cases has been a drop over the last several days. We're currently at 25,679 active cases. And when it comes to doses of vaccine, so over the last 24 hours, as many as 60,991 doses of COVID-19 have been administered. So, and we're currently at more than 2.48 million doses of vaccine distributed as a whole. That's a distribution rate of 25.15 doses per 100 people.
Are those the numbers being crunched by Serena? Let's get over to some of the findings and the words from the latest cabinet meeting here in the UAE.
So His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President, Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai, chaired the first cabinet meeting of 2021 and said that health protection will remain the nation's priority this year. He said the efforts and the journey of recovery from COVID-19, the pandemic itself, will not stop. So he stated that 2020 was an exceptional year of national achievements despite the challenges of the pandemic. So he also added that the nation will reinforce its economic, education, community and health sectors. Other announcements that came out from the cabinet meeting, as I said in the news headlines just before, foreign students soon be able to sponsor their families in the Emirates if they have the money to do so. And the cabinet also approved the formation of the Emirates Tourism Council. So that's going to put a spotlight on the UAE's natural resources and also the employment benefits that it will have for the youth as well.
We mentioned it briefly in the business heads a little earlier on, latest inspections.
So when it comes to the latest inspections, you've got 4 establishments that have been shut down by Dubai Municipality for violating COVID-19 protocol. So 3 massage centres in International City, a laundry in Satwa, an establishment was also fined. 26 received warnings, but the latest round of checks covered more than 2,000 businesses. So again, just urging the public, please do report any violations through the Dubai Consumer app if you come across something that just does not look like it's following COVID-19 safety protocol.
Meanwhile, we have got news of a new diagnostic test for COVID from the nation's capital.
That's right. There's actually 3 of them. 3 new COVID-19 diagnostic tests have been approved in Abu Dhabi to be used in emergency departments and urgent care centres. So the new ones are an antigen test, which is your nasal swab rapid viral detection that provides results in 20 minutes. Then you've got RT-LAMP genetic test, which is another nasal swab test, and that gives you results within an hour. And then, of course, saliva specimens, which can be used for COVID-19 diagnosis, especially in children, in those healthcare settings if the collection of a nasal swab is not possible. Speaking of which, I actually took mine yesterday to get a saliva test done. And you do need a lot of spit, actually. I'm sorry.
Hashtag TMI.
No, I had a friend do this the other day. She's got a four-year-old and a two-and-a-half-year-old.
It's so much.
She said for the four-year-old, it was fine. You just make a game of it. You know, come on, we're spitting into this. And yes, it took a while, but the four-year-old was up for it. But she did say the two-and-a-half-year-old, like, that just was not going
to
happen.
It's not easy, but then you're looking at it's like, okay, do I want to put them through the nasal swab? No, we're just going to keep, you know, using the saliva. But yeah, same. I had the same problem with my seven-year-old, but eventually we got there in the end. But yes, just an FYI, if you are doing the saliva test,
don't eat a packet of cream crackers before you go there.
It may take some time. Take a game with you or something. But yes, three tests approved, new COVID-19 diagnostic tests approved in the capital.
Let's get down. Should we stay in the capital because it's safe?
Yes, that's right. Abu Dhabi ranked the world's safest city for the fifth year in a row. So that's according to Nomeo's Quality of Life Index 2021. That is a global data website. So Abu Dhabi tops the list. 431 cities there are. Tops the list for low crime rate and overall safety score of 88.46. Sharjah ranked sixth. Their score was 83.59. Dubai seventh with their score 83.44. And Doha and Muscat also feature in the top 10, along with Taipei and Quebec City.
And I'm conscious of our friends in the north, south, east and west. Let's talk internationally if we can very quickly, because you keep an eye on some of the developments internationally.
Well, I know you've been discussing this already, that Oman is extending its land border closures for another week. So it's to help contain the spread of COVID-19. So that decision extends the current closure until February 1st. Currently, they have more than 5,000 active cases there out of more than 133,000 reported cases. Meanwhile, Israel, they have started vaccinating your 16 to 18-year-olds against COVID-19, because the idea is that they eventually want them to be able to sit their exams, of course, in a safe environment. And as you've got, you know, recently we announced here in the UAE, they expanded the vaccination age to include 16 and above as well. And the education ministry there, though, did say that it is too early to say whether schools will reopen next month, but they're definitely trying to move forward with that.
Right, we have got time for a few questions before we go there. One question we're getting lots about is second doses when it comes to vaccines at the moment. Brandy's been speaking to, the team. Who was speaking to Dr. Fried? Richard and Brandy. Both were talking to Dr. Farida Al-Hassani, Director of Communicable Diseases Department at the Abu Dhabi Public Health Centre. Second dose cropped up in conversation. This is the clarification.
Well, I think the duration of the second dose was stated or defined based on the study. So the day 21 in Sinopharm is really the ideal time where you need to take the vaccine to make sure that your immunity reach its maximum level. So I would advise everyone to stick to the schedule and try not to miss the second dose. And if they need to reschedule it, try to make it within a couple of days, not more than that. Usually 4 weeks, again, it's acceptable time. The range is usually between 3 to 6 weeks. But the ideal will be 21 to 28, 30 days, which is still within the acceptable range.
Dr. Farida Al-Hosni, the Director of the Communicable Diseases Department at the Abu Dhabi Public Health Centre, answering your questions a little earlier on. In the meantime, though, we have got loads of other questions that have come in on the back of that interview. Yuhu Zhu got in touch with us. Question for Serena. Serena, should I take a PCR test after the first dose of the vaccine?
Okay, so depending on which vaccine you're going for example, that you would only need to do this if you're trying to maintain the status on the Al-Hosn app. So if it's Sinopharm and you're trying to get into Abu Dhabi, it would be after your second dose. 28 days later, you need to take a PCR test. Because obviously that's to maintain the icon on the Al-Hosn app, which gives you those privileges, for example, entering the capital without needing to present a negative DPI or PCR test result. I hope that's answering your question.
Jookie's got in touch with us as well. Regarding the number of cases that you are reporting, Serena, is there ever a breakdown of how many were COVID-19, how many were the new mutated COVID-19s?
No, actually, we don't have that breakdown for you, but I do have details of a really good website which provides some more in-depth statistics for you. So that's fcsa.gov.ae, fcsa.gov.ae if you want some more information.
Lots of people are texting in about MRN. What's it stand for?
Actually, I'm not 100% sure, but it is a number that is provided by the Dubai Health Authority, which you do need when you're trying to book your appointment for your Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. I believe you do need to visit the DHA website. There is details there with regards to generating your specific number, because you, like I said, you need that number when you're making that appointment for the Dubai Health Authority Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Richard.
Please, sir, go on. For the first time in Business Breakfast history, there's a question that Serena couldn't answer, but I can.
Oh, do
my
it.
Goodness.
mobile record number.
Ah, oh, see,
boom.
Neville disagrees, though, because Neville's been in touch and Neville reckons it's medical record number.
What did I say?
Mobile.
Oh, I have one job to do. It's in front of me. It's medical.
Oh,
maybe someone stayed out watching the football a bit late last night. I was my one chance.
You're overzealous.
And I blew it. It's an open net.
Does it count then, does it?
No.
What else have we got for you? Well, we haven't got any time for you. We'll do it all again.
More on the Air and New Centre app.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
We are talking vaccine logistics this morning.
Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you people, take a stand.
Vaccine music for Richard Dean this morning, who is particularly fond of my playlists. Right, we're talking vaccine logistics this morning. Lots of rumours doing the rounds, lots of questions about what you should be doing now, and a lot of Dubai residents now up to their second jab. So we're going to look at what you need to know to get the timing of that right with Dr. Ayaz Varaji, who is the medical director at the Health Centre at New York University of Abu Dhabi and becoming something of our vaccine medical go-to expert. Dr. Ayaz, it's lovely to speak to you again.
Great being here, thanks.
So, a lot of people now getting their second jabs here in Dubai, which is fantastic. What's the time frame for getting a second jab? What do people need to know?
Yeah, and it is very exciting, as you say, so many people getting the vaccine. So generally, we're looking at between 21 and 28 days, and you should try to get your vaccine done at the same site you got your first shot, and it'll probably be the quickest that way.
Does it matter, and a lot of people have been asking this questions over the last couple of days, how much wiggle room do you have in that window? Does it matter if you're a day or two either side?
Yeah, I wouldn't go early. I think that if you go late, then the doctor on call who is managing the vaccine site, they do offer exceptions for people who, for some reason, maybe they were out of the country or the like. So I would definitely still show up and get vaccinated even if you're late. And I suspect down the line it's going to be very similar to our routine vaccines, where if, for example, you miss a second hepatitis vaccine, even if you're a month or a year late, you're allowed to just continue at that point. But we're not there yet.
When you say don't go early, why is that? How does the second shot actually work?
Yeah, so it's interesting because generally your adaptive immunity is augmented after the second exposure to an antigen, which is why we're doing this, right? So it's very similar to your first flu shot that you give to a child less than 9 years. We always give them two. We don't give them one. It's later that you start getting one. So the first shot generally primes the immune system, and then the second really augments that adaptive response to where you get these memory B cells and memory T cells and antibodies, these real advanced mechanisms of your immune system. And it takes a little bit of time between that exposure to get the best response.
A lot of people are calling the second shot a booster shot. Is that accurate? Is it just boosting what the first shot is doing?
I think it's fair to say that.
So let's talk about what happens if you just, for some reason, get the first shot. And this has been debated globally at the moment. Does it still work?
Yeah, so you're going to get some protection. It's not that you get zero protection without the shot, and then after the second shot, you're all of a sudden up to 86% magically. So there's going to be a gradient. So if you look at the data on some of the other vaccines, you can see about a 52% efficacy after the first shot. And if you look at the data, the phase one and phase two trials of the Sinopharm vaccine itself, you did get somewhat of an antibody response, but not a robust one until after the second shot, about 14 days after.
Right. So basically, ideally, you want to get both of those on time to schedule for maximum protection. What do we know, Dr. Ayers, about how protected you are after the second shot and at what stage after the second shot?
Yeah, so if you look at the information that's been released, you have about an 86% efficacy rate in the UAE, which is really good. I mean, very happy with those results. And more importantly, you had about 100%, close to 100% protection rate from serious disease. So remember, the pandemic is a pandemic because of not because of the many people who get, you know, cold and mild flu-like symptoms, but the people who end up hospitalized or end up dying from this. And if you can have a vaccine that protects you with that high of a rate from the serious stuff, then that's very good.
Well, everyone from the Australian Prime Minister to obviously the authorities here have been coming out and saying it doesn't mean, though, that you can't pick it up. And most importantly, having two shots doesn't mean that you can't carry it and transmit it to someone else.
Yeah, so that's an important distinction. So infectivity and transmissibility are different. However, the bigger net we have toward herd immunity, the bigger, the closer we get to getting our population in the UAE vaccinated, then naturally transmission is going to go down because infectivity is down. But that is an important distinction to make.
Okay, let's look at the headline in one of the papers this morning, The National, saying that inactive vaccines might be less vulnerable to new mutations. What are we talking about there, Dr. Ayers?
Yeah, so as far as the new mutations now, COVID-19 has been mutating since day one. In fact, just during our conversation right now, it's probably undergone a mutation. But we have seen meaningful mutations maybe about once or twice a month, and we're learning more of that as the science becomes more available. And so far from in vitro studies, the vaccines that we have covered the major mutations, like the B117 mutation out of the UK recently.
So when we're talking about inactive vaccines being quite good for them, we're talking about the Sinopharm?
Yeah, correct.
Although, of course, both vaccines out there, very good vaccines. What are we talking about when we're talking about the inactive vaccines having a having a good option there? What does that actually mean?
So I really like the inactive vaccine, the Sinopharm vaccine, because that's known technology, right? We've used this one for about 100 years. It's the same technology as the flu shot, same as hepatitis. So there aren't any surprises there. You're basically taking a dead virus, you're harvesting it, and then, you know, it's dead. It can't hurt you in any way. So you're just exposing your body to it. And your body, your immune cells are smart. They say, hey, look, this thing doesn't belong here. We're going to create antibodies and make sure the next time around that it's not going to affect us. So I like that. Now, there are the new vaccines, too, like the viral vector vaccines and mRNA vaccines, which also have advantages as well. But I think that the Sinopharm vaccine is a strong candidate.
Yeah, and it's not the only headline about the mutations, actually. I'm looking at one from Bloomberg at the moment. Pfizer-BioNTech shock likely to foil mutant new study shows. That's just come out in the last couple of days. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the show, talking us through the latest when it does come to vaccination and scheduling your second shot. Dr. Ayers Virgie, who's the medical director at the Health Centre of NYU Abu Dhabi, speaking to us on the Business Breakfast this morning.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Dr. Farida Al-Hassani, who was speaking to you, Richard Dean, a little earlier on today.
Indeed, yeah, director of the Communicable Disease Department at Abu Dhabi Public Health Centre. We wanted to speak to her about some of the questions we've been getting in about vaccines. A lot of uncertainty and a bit of misinformation. The first thing we asked her was the timing of the vaccines, and in particular, the gap between the two of them and the timing of the second dose.
Well, I think the duration of the second dose was stated or defined based on the study. So the day 21 in Sinopharm is really the ideal time where you need to take the vaccine to make sure that your immunity reach its maximum level. So I would advise everyone to stick to the schedule and try not to miss the second dose. And if they need to reschedule it, they try to make it within a couple of days, not more than that. Usually 4 weeks, again, it's acceptable time. The range is usually between 3 to 6 weeks. But the ideal will be 21 to 28, 30 days, which is still within the acceptable range.
Okay, so that's when you get the second dose. One of the questions we've got in from a number of people, including David, was asking, is there enough vaccine supply here in the UAE? He had his second dose appointment moved back by 10 days. And he asked the question, is that because we're running out of vaccine? This is what Dr. Farida said.
The supply for COVID vaccination, the global supply, is really an issue in different countries. You know that many countries did not get even the chance to get any doses so far. UAE have really worked, the government have worked very hard to ensure that we have more than one vaccine. We are starting early on and to ensure the continuity of the supply. So I think I would like to reassure people that we are doing our best to ensure your safety and your health and the availability of the vaccine.
We also asked her about people who've been vaccinated and their ability or not to transmit the virus. Can you still infect somebody else even if you've had the vaccine? This is what Dr. Farida told us.
The chance of getting the infection after the vaccine is much, much lower than if you did not get the vaccine, but the chances are still there. So you might be prone to get the infection, but what the vaccine even provides is really the prevention of the complications of the disease. So even if you take the vaccine, I would advise you to stick to the precautionary measures and not adhere to it, because it helps to protect you and protect your beloved ones.
As the voice of Dr. Farida Al-Hosseini, the director of the Communicable Diseases Department at the Abu Dhabi Public Health Centre, talking to us a little bit earlier.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Been watching Fox News, and the question is, what happens next for various members of the Trump family, in particular Ivanka Trump? This is what Politico is saying. At least three members of the Trump family are considering runs for office or are being urged to do so after their father left the White House a few days ago. That's according to well-connected operatives within the Republican Party. So, Lara Trump is the wife of Eric. You've met Eric, haven't you?
Both boys and had lunch with a daughter.
Right then. Well, Lara Trump, Eric's wife, is contemplating a run for Senate in North Carolina in 2022. Donald Jr., you met him yet?
I've interviewed both boys and had lunch with Ivanka.
He is eyeing a future in politics as well, although allies say it's unclear which office he would run for. He was tipped to run for senator in Wyoming in the last cycle, but he did not. But Ivanka is the big prize. She's the most high profile of the Trump contingent. And the hot money is on her running for senator in Florida. Now, that is not a vacant seat. Marco Rubio is the incumbent, very high-profile Republican senator, and in fact, he ran against Donald in 2016 for the Republican nomination for president. This is him, Marco Rubio, talking on Fox News when he was challenged about the thought that Ivanka might challenge him for his seat when it comes up.
How seriously do you take Ivanka Trump as a potential opponent?
I like Ivanka. We've worked very well together on issues, and she's a U.S. Look, anybody can decide to run if they want to. I mean, I'm not entitled to anything and so forth. I've got to earn my way forward. I'm very proud of our record. If you're going to run for Florida Senate, if you're going to run statewide in the state of Florida, you're going to have a tough race, and that might include a primary. That's their right under our system. I don't own the Senate seat. It doesn't belong to me. If I want to be back in the U.S. Senate, I have to earn that every 6 years.
Senator Trump, Brandy, what do you reckon?
I don't know. How do you reckon Ivanka's reputation has done out of all of this?
Well, Politico says that her husband, Jared Kushner, is working furiously behind the scenes now to disassociate her from her father's administration, even though they were both senior advisors for 4 years. Of course, the events at the Capitol in early January have tarnished that association. So that is apparently what Jared is working on now. But the thought is that it would be Ivanka who would run rather than Jared. He would be the kind of the power behind the throne, the kind of the Svengali or whatever you want to call it. I can see it. I think she's got the charisma. I think she could pull it off.
Yeah, I do. I just don't think... I think the shadow looms too large. And I think if Don, Big Don's still around in whatever form, representing whatever party, his personality would not allow one of his children to get a larger personality than him. And B, you can't help but be affected by the reputation that's been built over the last 4 years.
Maybe she could take her married name, Ivanka Krishna.
Yeah.
I don't know. We shall wait and watch. What else is grabbing our attention?
Yeah, absolutely. We are looking at what's happening with vaccines around the world and vaccine tourism. We have hotels in Thailand, two massive chains, the Dusit, we know that here, Minor International, which is the largest listed hotel and hospitality group in Thailand, saying to the FT that they want the government in Thailand to do away with quarantine retirements for people who have been vaccinated.
And you think this is the way the wind is blowing for the global industry?
Look, it's slow, but we saw the Seychelles come out and say that they were going to do this. You have to have a PCR test, but if you're vaccinated, you don't have to do the quarantine at the moment. Thailand, 70% of the Thai economy comes from tourism. Chief Executive of Dusit saying to the FT that the current quarantine restrictions are crippling the industry and therefore having a huge impact on the Thai economy, and that this is what needs to happen as soon as possible. Open the borders to vaccinated travellers. He says 2 weeks in quarantine effectively is putting people off coming to Thailand.
My sense is that this is inevitable as a first or second phase of reopening countries to tourism, whether it's Australia or Thailand. Who knows if it will happen here or not, but some kind of travel passport. I mean, we know, we spoke to the guys at IATA, didn't we, last week? They're working with Emirates and with Etihad on a travel passport. So this is real and this is happening already, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it absolutely is. And at the same time, we are expecting a decision out today from the UK, from politicians there, about whether or not tourists, visitors, travellers coming back into the UK are going to have to isolate for 10 days, potentially in airport hotels. The question is, will it happen in the first place with airport hotels? Will it just be those who've been to what are considered to be high-risk countries? Boris Johnson wants to leave British nationals out of that and make it just holidaymakers coming in. That decision is going to have a huge impact on our hotels and our tourism industry here.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on Dubai Eye 1038.com.
Well, we've got a special focus this morning on vaccinations.
Everybody needs shots, cause that's how we make diseases stop. Everybody needs shots.
Speaking of shots, we're also looking at the hospitality action of vaccination this morning. Speaking to the restaurant group that has begun offering discounts to the COVID vaccinated. One shot gets you a discount, two shots gets you a larger discount. Our WhatsApp group, social media, absolutely blowing up about this yesterday, so we're speaking to the man behind it, Naim Madad, the chief executive and founder of Gates Hospitality. Naim, good morning, nice to speak to you.
Top of the morning, Brandy.
Tell me exactly what you're doing here, mate.
Randy, we see our business as an integral part of the community and as a reward to the community, as an encouragement to what's happening. We've agreed to launch this campaign where we are offering a 10% discount for those who can prove they have vaccinated
for
the first dose, and a 20% discount for the latter jab.
So 10% for one jab, 20% for two jabs, whereabouts?
This is applicable at Reform Social and Grill at the Lakes, Bistro des Arts at Marina Address, Ultra Brasserie in Marina Plaza, as well as Imar Square, and Public at Souk Medinet. So four of our venues, we have decided to extend this offer and engage.
How does someone prove to you that they've been vaccinated, Naim?
Well, again, everyone's been given a certificate, basically, when you are qualifying for the jab. So we're asking people to show us a picture of that. And this is not about policing the market, Brandon. This is the main aim behind all this is to stand by the authorities. I mean, we're blessed to have this vaccine readily available. We're blessed to have this vaccine free of charge, with multiple locations throughout the city, where all we need to do is turn up and have the vaccine. So we're standing by the authorities saying, let's get this sorted, because the sooner we all get vaccinated, the sooner we resume to living life as we know it best.
Okay. Well, look, I've got the Sinopharm. Don't have a certificate, but I did get a bit of paper about the next appointment. Would that do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, we're not trying to make it difficult. What we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage people to get vaccinated. We're trying to stand by the authorities who have relentlessly fought to have the volume of the vaccine readily available, with many makeshift venues for us to be vaccinated and free of charge, as I mentioned earlier.
So what's the reaction been to this name?
I was absolutely inundated with messages, emails, phone calls, WhatsApp just yesterday, and most of it positive, a lot of it criticising as well. Nonetheless, Brandy, we're not here to please everybody. Our aim is to drive awareness. Our aim is to stand by what's happening for the betterment of the world, for life as we know it best, and make sure that we gain that presence. We do engage. One of my main brand pillars is engagement and enrichment. So we play a main role in the community as an influencer in the industry, as a being always referred to as a godfather of the industry. We have that obligation to make sure that we play a main role in the community and give back to our communities, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Those that have been criticizing you for this name, what are they saying?
Look, clearly, a lot of people read it as in we're capitalising on a weakness that is in the marketplace, which, again, is totally incorrect. We're actually extending a discount, so we're diluting our revenues. But the message here is, like I said, is to make sure we get people aware of what's happening, get people aware that you are rewarded if you are following directives from the authorities, which are, at the end of the day, for the better of our lives.
One question on the critical front that we've been asked this morning is, are you encouraging people then to crowd into your spaces to socialise?
Again, short-sighted individuals who are asking these questions. We have clear directives from the authorities of spaces between tables, of capacity per table. We've been doing this for the last 12 months, Brandy, at a cost to the business, if I may add. And we've successfully come out at the tail end. And what we're doing now is sending all the right messages, making sure that our teams are on buses, all jumping to vaccination centres, going through the same motion to make sure that our venues are safe, are adhering to the rules and regulations that are stipulated by the right authorities, and last but not least, reviving life for the safety and well-being of humankind.
You mentioned your staff there, Naeem. Are you asking them to vaccinate, or are you requiring them to vaccinate?
No, I'm not an authority. We are asking people for their own betterment.
Well, we've had new rules in your industry since you and I last spoke. Less people on tables, more distance between them. How does that affect you?
Commercially, absolutely. It does have a negative impact on the business. Nonetheless, Brandy, what we should be looking at is longevity and what is the objective of these regulations and rules. We will oblige, as always, and making sure that we need to be looking at long-term benefits. We've seen what happens when certain venues misbehave and put the rest of the industry, the rest of the sector, in trouble, and that we should not tolerate. We should be all adhering to these regulations because, again, short-term pains, long-term benefits.
We've just got 1 minute left with you, Naeem, and we are also waiting to hear today about what's going to happen with quarantine restrictions in the UK. Your venue's very popular with Westerners. Are you seeing a UK lockdown effect? Are you worried about what might happen next in 30 seconds?
Extremely worried, and it will have an impact on our business like everything else. But again, happy to take the bitter pill for a short time and come out to the tail end as winners.
Naeem Medad, Chief Executive and Founder of Gates Hospitality, speaking to us this morning about his new scheme at the restaurant group to offer discounts to those who have been vaccinated against the coronavirus. One shot, two shot, 10% off, 20% off.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.